Richard Dent joins us on Sports Byline, now Hall of Fame, a defensive end, played, of course, 15 years in the National Football League. 12 of those 15 played with the Chicago Bears. You know, Richard, when I talk to any athlete that's being inducted into any sports Hall of Fame, I've always found the meaning of that induction to be something special and different for different reasons. For you, what does this mean?
Well, you know, as a child, when you growing up, you try to be the best that you can be. When I left Atlanta, Georgia, I wanted to come back, and my community, my people, you know, looked up to me, appreciate, you know, what one has done. But, you know, when you're dreaming about playing in the National Football League or college or whatever it may be, and winning Super Bowls and Pro Bowls, and, you know, and once you do it well for a length of time, then people again start to say, you know, if you stay on that path, you could be in the Hall of Fame. You say, wow. But then again, it just goes back in the back of your mind because it's so far away from being over. You're living that time and you're enjoying it so much, you know, you really don't, I didn't really focus on that that much. It's just trying to be the best that I can be week in and week out.
You know, you transformed the defensive end position, you and Lawrence Taylor both, and I know I read an interview in which you talked about the influence that kind of Lawrence Taylor had. Can you talk a little bit about that? What was it about the way he played the position that influenced Richard Dent to play the position?
Well, you're the first person that I've heard that from, and, you know, Lawrence was, he wasn't a defensive end, he was a pass rusher, linebacker, basically. I think after he have gotten there so quickly so many times, now, you know, when we start looking at it saying, if you're getting by guys so fast, you know, you have a chance to maybe just get the ball out and you don't have to punish the guy anymore. So, you know, when we was coming up, you know, stripping the ball from the quarterback wasn't a sack, it wasn't a forced fumble, yeah, it was just a force. But once the league kind of changed his rules about, you know, a forced fumble is a sack, you know, so you can get a double, triple, you know, if I get a forced fumble, you know, I get a sack and we get a recovery and we get a touchdown, you know, you're getting 4 points right away there. So, but, you know, for me, it was that, you know, you, not that you, in a way I've gotten bored, but, you know, you beat a guy and just hitting a guy is one thing. And, you know, if I can get off the field, it's just saying taking your game to another level. So now the point is if I can get the ball out of here, we get a good field position. And, hey, I'm off the field. So just hitting them and punishing them was one thing. But then, you know, you may do that to put a little fear in their heart. But at the end of the day, you want the ball.
Richard, one of the things that I know about the NFL level, when there are athletes playing that level, they study an awful lot of film. What did you look for when you were breaking down film that could help you go in and either get the strip or get the sack?
Well, you know, teams like, you know, the Raiders, you knew the Raiders were going to throw, you know, 20-yard routes. You know, that's their model. That's the stripes that they have. They like long, you know, cutting routes and digs and long outs. And, you know, so you knew you was going to get the ball in the quarterback hand for some time. And the quarterback liked to drop 8 or 9 yards for whatever reason. So, yeah, as a fast guy, you know, that fits my model well. But then you look at the teams that's in your division, you know, you look at the Packers and the groups like that, that's a running team. So it made it a little tougher. So for me, I tried to understand the coordinator, first of all, the scheme and what he was trying to do. Two, I spent 15 minutes looking at the guy that's in front of me. Does he have his foot up? Does he have his left foot up? Do he have his, you know, left foot back? And, you know, the objective is make that right foot stop moving and put him in a position, put his body in a position where he don't have good strength. So, you know, if I can control his footwork by what I do, then my strength, my speed will take advantage and my leverage will take advantage of him, because the objective is to slow his footwork down and slow him down while you're kind of speeding up.
Did you have to adapt to any when Bill Walsh brought the West Coast offense into the league because of the quick drops and the quick flare patterns to the backs running out of the backfield? Did that change the way you approach playing football defensively?
No, you know, Bill Walsh started the walkthrough just because of the Bears 85 team, because we were sending so many people. Guys couldn't count. They couldn't get it right. So, you know, And as of today, if you're a tailback, you're a good tailback, become nickel playing, come in the game, you got to be able to count because you got to know where that offensive line is going, and you got to know what guy that you got to pick up. So if you don't have that well, then, you know, that's a problem for that offensive line, and it's a problem for your running back. So we used to force the hand on the offense. So we was an offensive-defensive team. Now, if you're a tailback and you want to run in the flat, you're running the flat, but you're also releasing a linebacker right down on your quarterback. But I used to play that, you know, when I come off the line of scrimmage, I can see the corner of that quarterback's eye, and when he's trying to go to that back in the flat, he's looking at that linebacker that's dropping, who's bailing out of there, I know, heavily, because I know my defense. Then he tried to get a little scan on, you know, where he want to put the ball because that back is giving a nice arch. And if I feel that and I get in that zone with them, then I'll shut it down and start backpedaling and just squat and look for the ball to come out. It's not a call, you know. To me, it's just playing heads-up ball. You know, sometimes the coaches get pissed off about it, but he's great when I get it. You know, I'm going to do that maybe 5-6 times a game, and a season, I should say. And, you know, but generally I come away with, you know, 3 or 2 picks or almost pick or whatever may be there.
You guys almost had an undefeated season, the season that you did win the Super Bowl. I believe the one loss was a Monday night game, was it not, to Miami? Does that still kind of haunt you a little bit? Because you guys were the most dominant defensive football team I have ever seen in the NFL.
Well, I would agree with that, too, also. I think the dominant team overall over some decade times probably was the Steelers, but the one shot Charlie, I think that we hold that pretty healthy. We wasn't really upset because the undefeated thing, you know, our objective was to come back that next year after we lost in San Francisco. We talked about it going back to Chicago, that we was going to come back and win this thing hands down. Now, the first game of the year, with Tampa Bay, who everybody used to be, you know, Tampa Bay had us 21-0 down at halftime. So we had to, you know, recant those thoughts that we talked about coming back to San Francisco. I started with a tip pass, Leslie Frazier tucking in, and, you know, we never turned around. Did we want to see, you know, Miami in the Super Bowl? I would love to have seen them get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's been a story that people still will be talking about. I tell Dan Marino, I'm glad he didn't show up because he's become a good friend of mine. I would hate to have, you know, put that kind of pressure on it.
You also talked very kindly about a teammate, Walter Payton, and I loved your quote.
Yeah.
You said that Walter used to say, "Don't do what I say, do what I do." Explain to everybody what he was talking about.
Well, when Walter does that, you know, that's when we're on the field and you see the guys get in a circle, and what he do, he put his hands on his thighs and he touches helmet and he go back and forth between his hands and between his thighs and his helmet. And he may say hands, but his hand doesn't move. So, you know, it's just a small thing of, you know, it's that, but then when you go out and see him play, and, you know, to me, I always want to project myself as a professional player the way he played the game was like, you know, no one other, you know. And I, you know, when I get off the field, you know, take a knee and watch him go to work is just amazing. It was just amazing.
Yeah, he also brought something else to the team, and I can't put my finger on it, but having been a teammate of his, what is it that he brought to the character of the Chicago Bears?
Well, you know, again, you're talking about a guy with a big heart, had great leadership, loved his personality, you know, knew how to step off the pedestal and how to keep his team, you know, fluent and feeling well and enjoying themselves. The biggest prankster, you know, you can find. I can recall the days when we used to come out of the facility and, you know, he'd have a cigarette and he'd put the stem of that bomb on a cigarette and while the press people sitting over there and next thing you know they hear this bomb go off and he's every reporter scattering and running, you know, and then finally, you know, they started getting used to it, but it always surprised them. It always kept them off guard. And he used to do the same with us. Again, he's a guy just, you know, when you talk about perfection, you know, everybody knew about him before you got there. So, obviously, when I came there, you know, he came from a black school also. So, you know, to me, it kind of looked like myself. So I wanted to, you know, be as good or as better than what he was projecting. So, you know, it was a huge milestone to climb, and I was all about trying to be as good as Mr. Peck.
Richard, hold on just a second. We'll only keep you a little bit longer. Richard Dent is with us, deservedly in the Hall of Fame, defensive end. Had career sacks, 137.5, and he was one of the mainstays on those great Chicago Bears defensive teams. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on the American Forces Network and elsewhere as we continue with you on Sports Byline.